Here is our next guest, Robert Boatwright. He is a professor and chair of the Political Science Department at Clark University in Massachusetts. He teaches courses on American political behavior, political parties, campaigns, and elections. He's a research fellow at the Campaign Finance Institute, and he's currently completing a book manuscript on the history of reforms to primary elections during the 20th century. He's working on another book on the concept of political corruption and how that is understood in America today. Robert, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I was just looking at this story about how Boeing said that they will continue to fund the campaigns for politicians who opposed certifying the election. They're giving money to both sides, Democrats and Republicans. But those Republicans who said that the election of Joe Biden was illegitimate are going to still get campaign contributions from Boeing. What do you make of a story like that?
Well, there were a lot of corporate PACs that shortly after January 6th announced that they were going to think about whether to discontinue their contributions, suspend them, and so on. PAC contributions are relatively small. The limit on what you can give to a candidate per election cycle, if you're a PAC, is $5,000, which isn't really very much money when the average congressional campaign can run into the millions. So most of these folks didn't even need the money or didn't even expect PAC money until closer to the 2022 election. So it was a harmless little bit of signaling by Boeing and a number of other companies. But ultimately, their goal is to make sure they have a foot in the door of most legislators, be they Democrats or Republicans, who are in a position to listen to them, to help them with their problems.
According to the Chicago Tribune, actually, I think this is Crane's Chicago Business, Boeing's PAC also gave $25,000 to the Republican Attorneys General Association, an affiliate of the group Rule of Law Defense Fund, which helped organize the January 6th protest. I mean, there are ways that more dollars than just a few find their ways to some of these candidates. But I take your point. In the grand scheme of things, Boeing's money is not going to get one of these guys elected. But then one wonders how smart that signaling is, right? Because they're also signaling that they support someone who doesn't believe in the last election, right?
Well, if you think about it, there were many news stories shortly after January 6th about all of these corporate PACs that were reconsidering their contributions, right? Very few of them said categorically, we're not going to give to these people, but many of them said, we're going to think about it. And I think they got a little bit of good press from that. It probably outweighs whatever bad press there is that would happen over the course of the next year or two when some of these companies rather discreetly start getting back to their normal contribution patterns.
It also just kind of is a reminder that this is how the sausage gets made, right? I give you money, and then when we need legislation for air travel or whatever it is that Boeing needs, then maybe you remember that and favorably legislate for me. I mean, that's the sort of quid pro quo there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Boeing, like most other giant corporations, they give money to pretty much anybody. I mean, there are major business PACs who routinely give money to every single incumbent in Congress. Right? The realtors, for instance, have a policy of giving to virtually everyone, Democrat or Republican. And the people who are highly controversial, right, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and so on, they raise lots of money from individual contributors, and they don't need PAC money. So PAC money, the legislators who are heavily dependent on PAC money are the kind of, average legislators who don't make headlines, don't gather a lot of attention, but are busy, paying attention to the needs of their districts.
For a long time, the Attorney General for Illinois was a lady named Lisa Madigan, and she was as sure going to get reelected every year as she ran. She chose finally to not run anymore, but she was a shoo-in. And yet she had a campaign war chest with millions of dollars that came from law firms. And I often thought, and other individuals as well, and PACs and businesses and so forth. And I thought, wait, she's sort of the arbiter of fair law for all of us in the state of Illinois. She almost shouldn't be gathering that kind of money. And yet they did. And it just, you know, it sort of begged the same question I'm asking again, that that seems to grease the wheel a little more than it should be greased to me.
Sure. Well, you know, it's really a matter of state law, whether attorney generals are limited. I mean, Illinois has notoriously lax campaign finance laws compared to most other states. But at least at the federal level, you're correct that most legislators don't really need all the money they raise. If you think about all of the Chicago area, you know, Democratic members of Congress, these are people who don't really have to worry about getting reelected, and yet they routinely raise, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. There's really a couple of purposes for that. We know that most members of Congress are, you know, they tend to run scared, right? They tend to want to have money just in case, or in order to deter somebody from even thinking about running against them.
Maybe that, because a lot of them run unopposed.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you take somebody like Bobby Rush, for instance. You know, Bobby Rush, every once in a while, gets a primary challenger, not every year, but sometimes. So it's probably in his interest to have $1 million sitting in the bank just in case somebody thinks about running against him. And I think the same goes for most other members of Congress. In addition, both if you're a member of Congress, you can turn around and give your money to your party's congressional campaign committee. So in a way, it's a way of redistributing money from the people who don't need it to the people who do. So all of the Chicago area Democrats with their safe seats, if you look at the records, every election cycle, they'll give several hundred thousand dollars to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which will then spend that money on behalf of, say, you know, Democrats in downstate districts who really need the money in order to be competitive.
You're writing a book on political corruption in America today and how well it's understood when that book comes out. Robert, let's visit again on the radio. I'd like to hear what you come up with on that. When are we going to get that book?
Hopefully by the end of the year, but we'll see.
I appreciate your time today.
I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Please do. Keep writing.
All right,
and thanks for joining us. Robert Boatwright, professor and chair of the Political Science Department at Clark University.